Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Wellbeing Matters podcast with me, Gareth Boot, and
Sue Cowlishaw.
What are we talking about in this one, Sue?
We're talking about the big three.
The big three, the second of the big three we've just done. If you might have listened to it, you might have heard the first one we did, which was on improving wellbeing. So this one is on
raising aspirations.
So let's have a chit chat about that.
Well, what does that mean, raising aspirations?
Do you know, I first heard this word or the concept of it about 5 or 6 years ago, and it became a big buzzword around education, actually. I heard it first in education. How do we raise the aspirations of our young people? And, you know, there's a lot of kind of the word aspire or aspirations. There's a lot of businesses tag that to their name.
Hmm.
Aspire coaching, you know, and all this kind of, there is all them kind of things. And I think it's one thing we might think we understand what the idea of raising aspirations is. And it generally is, I suppose, looked upon in thinking bigger.
Yeah, taking away
excuse me.
Taking away boundaries.
Yeah, and I think when we talk about raising the aspirations of anything, it's how do we look at something and say we can do more than that? We've got to look at what we mean by better 24/7.
Yeah.
That's what this episode is about. So I think for me, when we started looking at adding this to one of our big three, because I think it wasn't easy to find three to settle on because there were so many, really.
There's so much that we really wanted to talk about.
But quite honestly, a lot of the stuff that we were talking about fitted into a well-being piece, really. It fitted into the improving well-being. But then it became clear to me that what if you've no interest in improving your well-being? What if you really don't care how bad your life is? That to me then started to smack of, well, hang on, if you don't want better, and if you're not, you know, you're not of the mindset to think I am worthy of more than this, then actually it's very important that we help you raise your aspirations.
I think so, and I also think that people have different aspirations. It doesn't have to be a massive big aspiration to do something, you know, like, I don't know, climb Everest or something. People can just aspire to just be better than they are today, really.
I think that's really interesting because I think that is what holds a lot of people back. And I think this is why I think for us it's very important that people understand, you know, it's about you, like you said, being better. It's very easy when we see people with these huge, massive goals. And I know a couple of weeks ago we went to see a lady talk from exactly what you said there about climbing Everest. She was the youngest person, the youngest British person, I think.
No, I think she was the youngest person.
Well, she was British and she was certainly one of the youngest people, or she was the youngest at the time, youngest female to get to the top of Everest. And a very focused lady. What was her name?
This is Hans.
Was
really
it Bonnie?
Bad.
What was her name?
Benita.
Norris? I thought it was Benita Norris.
Benita Norris.
Anyway, I'm sure if you Google first British lady or youngest British lady to climb Everest, you'll get a name. But what was interesting when I was there is, although it was a very inspiring talk and a very interesting talk, I thought, well, what if you don't have what if your aspirations are not as big as that? Don't they matter?
Well, that is an interesting question because that's how I used to feel. I used to, when I was younger, look around at what people were doing and feel quite insignificant. Like, well, you know, should I be doing this or should I be doing that? Even though deep down it wasn't my interest. And I love to hear about what people have done now. Absolutely love it. And it just takes you out into another world. But yeah, you know, aspirations can be lots of things. They don't have to be such huge personal goals.
I think for me, it's about asking that question. You know, we've already talked in the first episode that we put on here, which we talked about the importance of improving our well-being and how all these factors come together to create well-being and that sense of comfortable, happy and healthy life. But actually, when you start thinking of an aspiration, you have to consider, really, can you look at areas of your life and you could you be happier, healthier or more comfortable? And if you believe you can't be, then that's a problem with your aspirations, because you need to aspire to be better in some area. Like I said, you don't need to aspire to do massively great things. You just need to aspire to be better than you were yesterday. And one thing I hope we can encourage through Better 24/7 and the work we're doing is to say you don't have to start off with these massive goals. You can just start off by pushing a little bit further every day in your own life. So I talk about this a lot when I work with my clients, and I've done this recently with some secondary school kids. There's one thing that I hear coaches talk about a lot, and it's about jumping out of your comfort zone. Have massive goals, you know, go miles out of your comfort zone. The reality is, as human beings, we're not built to go massively out of our comfort zone. As comfort zone's there for a reason, it's to keep us safe. And if we go out too far, we don't feel safe, so we're not likely to keep doing that. The one thing I think is really sensible to do is to push just outside your comfort zone. So for instance, let's say now, you know, we'll use the example of climbing Everest. Very few people listening to this podcast will probably aspire ever to even consider climbing Everest. You know, they just won't. But this woman didn't start off by aspiring to climb Everest. She started off by doing smaller things first. She, by her own admission, she'd not climbed till about 3 years before.
She said she'd never been interested in mountaineering. Never interested in it. Didn't know anything about mountains.
But she had the chance to just do a little bit of, I think it were climbing in Wales or somewhere, and she took it from there. So the thing about aspirations are, they're not something that are set in stone. You don't aspire to do one thing and then when you've done that, that's it. It's about picking things that take you and challenge you a little bit and take you out of your comfort zone. Because let's assume you're out of your comfort zone just a little bit every time, and you keep doing that, eventually, from where you were when you started a process to where you were at the end of it, is a massive difference. And it's done in a more comfortable way. So I think for me, and I think for Better 24/7, it's about looking at your life right now and asking, what area could we improve that life in? What could we improve? What area could we improve in? Is that your fitness? Is that your diet? Could you improve your relationships? Could you improve your financial situation? Could you improve your career? And then aspire to do that. And an aspiration is just having... Would you say an aspiration is a dream?
No.
Well, what would you explain it as? What would you say an aspiration is? I aspire to this.
Aspirations for me are just what I said earlier on, to be... To do... Sometimes we have limitations that we've put on ourselves or somebody else, teachers, parents, whatever. And it's getting past that to get to what you really want without people kind of dampening down on it. So I never aspired to be a yoga teacher, ever. And when I started to train as a yoga teacher, a couple of people did mention my age. But I didn't take any notice of it because it wasn't a big thing to me at the time. So we do kind of get other people dampening down our aspirations with, you know, stories and their opinions. So it's about finding out what you really want and going for it, whatever that is.
Well, I think it's interesting what you said there, because you said you didn't set out and aspire to be a yoga teacher.
Yeah.
For me, I think your aspirations come from this thing that, what are you interested in? What are you pulled towards? You see, it can be very easy, especially if we're younger in life, and actually it's not even younger, it's any age. We're very easily influenced by those around us, by people telling us what they think we should be, what we think we should do, what they think we should have. But actually, I think there's always an underlying sense, and certainly has been in my life, of following a path that I felt was right for me.
Did you never feel that you had to conform?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I felt I had to conform, but underlying all that, I always had an aspiration to work improving people. I always had this thing that in my life, I always felt the pain of people that were either left out, people that were kind of maybe not that good in society. And I don't mean that by, you know, villains. I'm talking about they weren't that good at connecting and communicating with other people. Because I was aware that I was a very shy individual. So for me, I had the ability, and quite honestly, to have this illusion I'm quite confident and put on a front that made me look like quite a plausible character. But deep down, I had a lot of nerves and a lot of fear around my kind of ability to connect with other people and to be seen in a way that was positive. I always saw myself in a very kind of negative way. So I always had this feeling that I wanted to help other people in whatever way I could. So if you look at some of the stuff I've done in my career, I tended to employ people in my business that maybe wouldn't have got that opportunity in another business. I didn't look at people's CVs too much. I didn't. I looked at people's...
Did you chuck them in bin?
I kind of looked at people's ability. And a lot of the people that I employed initially working for me within my kind of factory setup, then they moved into other more senior positions because I allowed them to aspire to do that. I gave them the belief they could. So I think it's really important, especially if you listen to this podcast and you're a little bit younger, that don't be persuaded by other people telling you what they think. You should always take people's advice and take that on kind of, advice really on some kind of merits. Yeah, I'll listen to that. But deep down, what do you want to be? What do you aspire to be? And I think one of the bravest things in the world for anybody to do is to actually step up and say, you know what, I want to be this. So I suppose the obvious thing for me is, you know, I always had this thing about, you know, I felt I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to be have a big business and, you know, be a bit like...
What did you want? What did you like about that idea?
It was growing up in the 80s. It was kind of, I got tied into this kind of yuppie idea and aspiring to have lots of money and do those things. And, you know, I have been fortunate. I've done well out of the business I had. But then I realised that at some level, my aspiration was for freedom. Freedom is way more important to me than money. And the ability to be able to do what I enjoy doing when I want to do it and not have the confines of either a business or a job to do, the freedom was what I desired. So I always aspired to be able to have that freedom. And the reality was I always aspired to have that. It was never about
money. You see, my aspirations have changed over time because I originally, when I left school, went and did a hairdressing apprenticeship. And I really took to it. I'm quite creative. I was going to go off to art college, but the thought of being a student didn't do much for me. So within a couple of years, I aspired to have my own hair salon, which I got. That was a big aspiration for me. And then other things have come along. I mean, I've done quite a lot of different things in my working life.
Well, I think the aspirations we have do change because the one thing, if you'd have asked me probably 3 or 4 years ago, you know, I did aspire to have the freedom and I still do have this aspiration to have a freedom, but I also understand the importance of money to allow you to do things that allow you to have the freedom.
Yeah.
And also with this we're doing with Better 24/7, my aspiration is that we can create a business model that allows us to make an income from this that will kind of allow us to do this full time, as well as have some surplus to be able to invest back into giving other people opportunities to do things they might not be able to do.
Mm.
So I can allow them and we can allow them to have some freedom. So your aspirations do change. And I suppose once you start to have aspirations, the path you're on will lead you to think maybe about something else that you could do. Because you can't, I suppose I could never have aspired to have Better 24/7 and do this with you unless I'd had the aspiration to have a small business to start with.
Mm.
And if I'd not aspired to have the small business, which when I started out was a market stall, and then if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have had the aspiration then to have a bigger business, which is eventually what Pickpack became.
So when you've told me before you had a market stall selling shoes, did you? Or do you
No, I worked on a market stall selling shoes.
So what market stall did you aspire to have?
Stationery. Well, I'll tell you why I aspired to that. I worked on a market stall and I loved it. And then I aspired to have my own market stall. So again, working on the market stall for somebody else, I had the aspiration then, said, you know what, I'd like to do this for myself. I'd like my own business. And I always wanted my own business. It was an aspiration from a very young age. When kids wanted to be footballers, and back then it was, I want to be Kevin Keegan. It shows you how long ago that was. But, you know, back in the kind of late 70s, early 80s, my aspiration was to be Del Boy from Only Fools and Horses. I liked the idea of being a wheeler dealer and I loved that kind
of
concept.
Did you ever have one of them coats?
I never had one of them coats.
Were they sheepskins?
Never had a sheepskin coat. I had a flat cap.
Yeah.
I did have brogues. In fact, look,
yeah,
I'm wearing brogues now. These are very Del Boy.
See, when I was a child in kind of like the early 70s when I was getting a little bit older, from my background, because that does dictate a lot of, you know, your aspirations. When you're a child, sometimes they come from other people, usually your parents, or where you grow up, you know, the people around you, the jobs that they had. And, you know, my mother used to drill it into us to get a good education, get a good job, get married, buy a house, have a couple of kids. And that was a lot of people that I went to school with, that, especially women, that was what we were led to believe. You had achieved something when that's what you got.
But don't you think, I often find that people either end up like the parents or completely opposite to. So looking, based on the experience you've had of growing up with what your parents did, you either say, yes, I want to do that, or you have the aspiration that I am nowhere going to be ever like them. So in many ways, I mean, I grew up with a sister and Sarah. She's 47 today. Oh, Sarah. And Sarah has a very similar life to my mum and dad had. So a very similar kind of house and a very similar lifestyle. I've got a lifestyle which is very different to my mum and dad. So it's almost like I believe you either become very similar to your parents or you almost do things that are completely different. I mean, back to the market stall, I had a station stall for a reason. I didn't have a lot of money. I mean, when I think about it now, and I know it's 80s, and it probably would a bit more than the value of the money is now, but I think it's about £30 to buy something with. So I went to a place and I thought, what can I buy the most of for 30 quid? And it was stationery. So I was selling bits of pens and notepads. And being on that market stall allowed me to really sense and feel that freedom, because I turned up on a morning, it was my stall, I enjoyed talking to people. And even though I was a bit nervous, behind that market stall, I came alive in a different way. It was like a character, if you like, that I put on. So my aspirations to have that market stall were because of I had aspirations to have the freedom that I saw Del Boy having. So I think your aspirations do come from maybe things you've seen in your life when you were younger. You might have seen someone and thought, oh, I'd like to do that. You might have seen a particular industry, whether that's, you know, the music industry. You might have seen an art industry and think, oh, I would like to do that. And I think it's a good indication of what your aspirations are, is asking yourself, would I like to do that? Would I like to be involved in that?
What did your parents think about you getting a market stall?
They were very supportive, Mum and Dad. And I have to say, in anything I did, they were supportive. And looking back, maybe too supportive, because I think, you know, if I'd have been pushed a wee bit harder at school, I'd have come out with better qualifications, and that would have allowed me to have maybe another career and look at other things. But I think they knew from an early age it was nothing that I wanted to do. I never wanted to have a 9-to-5, you know, hello, Mr. Jones, there's your office kind of job. It never did anything for me.
No.
And that aspiration's never changed. And the funny thing, you talk about, we were talking, I think, a few minutes ago about, you know, your aspirations can change. I think they can change in what you want to do and aspire to be, but they'll always be in a similar kind of thing.
Yeah, and you're always going further.
Yeah.
You don't aspire to go back.
I think one thing people have been encouraged to do, which I disagree with greatly, is they aspire to have, you say, get big goals. The problem is with these big, scary goals is sometimes they're so big and they're so scary that actually we know at some level they're not that realistic. And like we get people now who think, oh, I want to be the next Uber. I want to be the next Bill Gates. I want to be the next Steve Jobs. Well, you know, you're very, very, you're going to be very lucky if you get to that. And not many people ever will.
And did Bill Gates as a child, I mean, we've been watching a series on him.
He's an interesting guy.
He was an unusual child, but he never had any plans to dominate the world of computers.
Nobody ever does. And the thing is, we're kind of led to believe these days that is possible. You can just set out on a target to dominate the world of computers and you'll do that. No, what Bill Gates did is he started, through his, and most business people like this and successful business people, they do something. They find people that like what they do and it grows from that. And I think we're trying to kid people into thinking it's easy enough to just say, I'll make a decision to be famous and I'll be that. And again, I think that's something that, you know, without trying to get too kind of old manish here, it's something I'm seeing happening a lot with younger people where they aspire to be an influencer. Like, that's a job. You know, I aspire to be an influencer on Instagram. Doing what?
Do they get paid?
Well, they kind of get paid in some ways, but it's just a way of becoming. They get freebies. So what I think a lot of younger people don't understand is, you know, if you've got a makeup challenge, show people how to put makeup on, yes, you will get freebies. And when you're kind of in your teens, those freebies will feel like a big deal. But the reality is that these makeup companies are not really helping you. They're hurting you. They're using you as a marketing tool. Because if you've got all these thousands and in some cases millions of followers, you know, you will introduce their products to them and they'll make money. The trouble is, if we aspire to be famous, what does that mean? You can be famous for doing some really bad stuff. never mind good stuff. I think you have to be a bit more specific about your aspirations. So for me, it's what am I doing and how do I improve? How do I become better at something? And what do I aspire to be as part of a community, as part of society?
So do you think, on the whole, that the majority of people's aspirations have been lowered? I think we have a generation where children don't aspire or don't have an idea of what they'd like to achieve.
I think we've created a society where parents and people of a certain age want to really give young people a chance. And I think that's a great thing. But some of the stuff we're teaching kids and some of the ways we are kind of encouraging kids to do stuff is not really helping them to be prepared for the world that's out there. And what I mean by that is, it's all right saying to your kid, you can be anything you want to be. Well, that's true to a point. But, you know, it's like me, if I'd have turned around when I was, you know, 12 or 13 and said, Mum, I want to be fastest sprinter in England. Well, the reality is that may or may not have been true. I wasn't physically built to be a sprinter. So I could have aspired to be the best and fastest sprinter I could be. And I think it's using that caveat. You can be whatever you want to be, the best version of you doing that you can be. And if you being that best version of you allows you to rise to great heights within that thing you want to do, that's great. But it's not always as easy just saying, I'm going to be that.
So why do you think some people don't have aspirations?
I think we genuinely think we haven't got... It's down to... We don't think we've got a choice. So for instance now, aspirations and raising aspirations is talked a lot about in education and young people. We want to aspire them to do well at school, to get good jobs, to become... functioning and valuable members of society.
And get a mortgage and get married and have kids.
Well, that will be some people's aspirations. And again, we in the same way we shouldn't really kind of take the mickey or decry other people's dreams, equally your aspirations, what your aspirations are. What I think we have to start doing is saying your aspirations shouldn't stop when you become a teenager or you leave school. You should always be aspiring to be doing something that furthers you as a person. And I think what I found, certainly for people of my generation, which, you know, people that are now in the late 40s, you know, getting into 50 very shortly, is when did we stop aspiring to improve? And it's not everybody, by the way. There are a lot of people out there in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s doing great things. But for me, the worrying thing is there's way too many not doing it. There's way too many settle and tolerate things
we were led to believe you get to a certain age, you retire... And you take it easy. I mean, go on one of those Alan Wicker cruises and put your feet up and...
The thing for me is, if you look at this idea that when do you stop moving forward? Better 24/7 really came about because we recognised we were quite healthy. We were quite physically fit. And we had kind of an outlook on life that was different to other people, yet... If we had listened to some of these people talk, I've heard people in the early 40s saying, you know, at my age, at 40, well, at my age, what? At my age, I can't run because my knees are sore. Well, the reality is my knees were sore.
You said that in a really strong accent.
Sore.
No, that for some of you listeners, that's sore.
Yeah. Listen, I don't think I have much of a Yorkshire accent. You think I do?
Well, when I questioned you about it, you said it was more of a Batley accent.
Batley or Dewsbury. We don't tend to pronounce H's.
Or TH.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, let's get back to
Anywho.
It. I think we are led to believe that when we get to a certain age, it is just about coasting. You've done your bit. That's as good as it gets. And, you know... Enjoy the rest of your days, which may well be limited. I don't believe that, and I've never believed that. And I think this idea of improving well-being, even right now, if you're listening to this podcast and you might be, you know, you might be in your 60s, your 70s, and you may not have the best of health, but why can't you aspire to have better health tomorrow? Even if that health isn't brilliant health, you're never going to get brilliant health back. You can improve it. Everything can be improved if you make a decision to do it. And the only thing that stops you from improving anything in your life is not having the aspiration to be or do or have that. So, I mean, we can talk now about somebody very close to you, your mother. You know, your mother is how old now?
76.
And I've never met a 76-year-old woman that does what your mother does. She's an avid walker. She's a very fit individual. I've been walking with her and she's impressive to say the least. And she's always done that. So she's no intention of slowing down. And she aspires every year to do something bigger, significantly bigger.
I mean, she had quite a major operation in January and she just set a mind to improving her health. She rested, she got better, and then she started to walk half a mile. She said when she first went out walking, it took her an hour to walk a mile. She was so slow. She was like small children were walking past her and old people with sticks. But she went out every day and she built her fitness back up. But now she's looking at how she can get fitter or faster than last year. And then she never questions her age.
Well, that's what you've said there. She wants to be better and fitter and faster than last year. So I have my aspiration right now is to be fitter at 50, which is roughly 13 months away when I hit 50. I want to be fitter at 50 than I was at 30. And the reality is now, if I was 50 tomorrow, I would be fitter than I was when I was 30. Because what we have to do is always be asking, how do we improve every day? That's what raising aspirations are. And I think if you take it back to younger people, I think depending on where you went to school or where you grew up, there's an expectation of what you can expect from life, which may or may not be true. And it's as true as you want it to feel. So you can think, well, hang on, I grew up on quite a rough housing estate and there's no opportunities for us around here. And if that's what you think, that's what you will believe, that's what will show up. But if you say, well, actually, I may have started here, but I have an aspiration to improve. And I can do that through education. I can do that through connecting with the right people, getting the right kind of knowledge, maybe traveling and visiting different places. You can move your life and change your life. It's completely in your control. And I think that's why people don't have as bigger aspirations as they need, because they're not told that. I'm not saying you're going to achieve everything you set your mind to. You know, we've got to be realistic. Many people, including myself, and I'm sure you can empathize with this, you know, we probably fail at more things than we actually succeed in.
I just kind of forget the stuff I failed at. That is an interesting subject, because when you're a child and you fail at something, I had this little conversation with my grandson when we were talking about he was in the rugby team and we were talking about running because he's a really fast little runner. And I said, you know, when I was at school on sports day, when it came to the running, I don't know how far we used to run when we were at a sports day. I used to run as fast as I could. I used to get my head down and I used to think I was going so fast. I couldn't go any faster and people were running past me. And I still remember the feeling today. And in the end, I thought, I'm not a runner. I could not run fast like other people. But I learned that I was not a runner.
But using that learning, and I think that's why we've got to be very careful when we use the word success and failure. Because the reality is, there's no such thing as success and failure.
No, it's only feedback.
It's only feedback. So you did something, and did you like that result? Does that result work for you? If not, we changed something.
I was convinced that I was a sprinter.
Well, the truth is, there's some things in life we want to be that we're never going to be. And we almost, it's like me. I always had the aspiration to be kind of chunky, dark haired and tanned.
Yeah, what did you do when you left school? You like ate loads of food.
And I thought I'll eat a load of food and start getting the suntan. And I didn't get muscle, I got a big belly. And going out in the sun caused me to get burnt because I've got red hair. So I want to. So sometimes we have to have people maybe guide us with not following a pipe dream. And this is where, again, I think some people who class themselves as coaches, mentors, will disagree. They say, no, you can be anything you want to be. That's not true. You have to be realistic about, is this something I have got the potential to be? So have I, you know, been 6'1", very thin, with ginger hair, do I have the chance to be a 5'8" bodybuilding Italian? The answer is no. But we have to be very careful about not allowing our aspiration to disappear because of what we're told. We have to learn that to be true ourselves. So when I did try to put weight on, very quickly the feedback I got was, you ain't going to put weight on like that, son. Same with you. You know, your feedback from your running was, maybe not a sprinter, Susan. Maybe you're a distance runner. Maybe you're an 800 metres or something like that, or a marathon runner, whatever. I think raising aspirations has become a big part of what we're focusing on, because you have to aspire to improve something if you're going to improve it. So if we look at the first of our big three, which was improving well-being. Unless you aspire to have better well-being, you're never going to improve it. Because we only ever do things we aspire to be or to want. So an aspiration, you know, that can be seen as this is something I aspire to have, I aspire to want this. So if you make the decision that maybe, regardless of where you are right now with some aspect of your life, and we could pick something like your career. So in my career right now, I have a job, but I aspire to have a promotion, or I aspire to work for myself, or I aspire to work in a different organization doing this, whatever it might be. Once we have that aspiration, then we can work towards it, because that's what drives. It's kind of the goal, if you like. An aspiration becomes a goal. It's something we can work towards.
So how do you, when you work with children, school children, how do you raise their aspirations?
The thing with a lot of school children is you're dealing with, and bear in mind, there's various different ages of school kids. You've got your primary school kids, and I mean, you know, I don't have a lot of experience dealing with primary school kids, more secondary school, really. But you seem to see this thing with primary school kids where they believe everything. They can do anything. They can be a rocket scientist. They can fly to the moon. They can do anything. They can be the next Lionel Messi. And at that age, I think that's important, because at that age, you need them to be encouraging to think and dream big. Because a lot of things that do happen in life are because people think and dream big. They may not get to that exact point, but it allows them to think in a different way.
And everything comes from a thought, doesn't it?
Everything's... Well, you know, think...
It's like, what we're going to have for dinner...
Comes from a thought.
We shall have this. I think we'll have some peanut soup. And then it appears.
Anything you're looking at now, and you can look at the microphones we're talking into, the computer that's recording the sound, the lights around us, at some point these did not exist. And somebody woke up one morning and thought, I've had an idea. I'm going to make a microphone, and it's going to have this, this, and this bit, and it's going to do that. Or I'm going to find this way of putting a little device together where you can use a computer instead of a big thing on a desk, it can be a laptop. Everything starts with a thought. I think to raise the aspirations of our kind of younger people, it's about getting them to recognise that the world they're going into, what value can they add to that? What would they like to be doing in that? I think it's very, very easy with young kids to get them excited. I think as we get older, we have to start becoming more realistic. And that's just a factor of getting older. You know, we can't do the things when we get to 18 and 19 that we could when we were 6 and 7. We have different responsibilities the older we get. So especially when you're in secondary education, you're looking at your career. You've got to think, well, what do I aspire to be? Because what you aspire to be at the end of that educational system, whether that's leaving school and going into college or to university and into further education, if you have no idea what you want to do, then what are you firing at? You've no target. So having three kids now that are all at one's in university now, one's just gone to college, and one's finishing her final year in secondary school, they don't know exactly what they want to be. They just know an area in which they want to move towards. So my son is interested in sport and working within sport, potentially in teaching. He knows that. My eldest daughter, she aspires to be working with children. And my youngest is yet doesn't really have an aspiration other than she likes bits around dancing, and she likes some of the kind of sciences she does. So as long as she keeps looking in that area to see what comes up, and sometimes your aspirations are not built on something you know, it's something you see. So I would not have aspired to be a market trader if I'd never watched Only Fools and Horses and seen Del Boy. So as we get older, I think the way to aspire, certainly secondary school kids, in fact, kids of any age, is to get them to see a lot of different things around them, experience kind of stories about people, or look at different industries.
And also, the when we were talking about failure or feedback, encouraging children to try things and not be bothered if they fail, because sometimes you try things and they're not for you. But if you don't try them in the first place, how are you going to know? That might just, you might dream or aspire to be something, but you might be too frightened to try it. So you don't bother. And then it's always just in your mind.
The one thing we shouldn't do is we should never do anything without testing it out. For years, right, literally years, I wanted to be a business coach. From getting into business, I wanted to be a business. I wanted to work in businesses and work on helping people grow businesses.
I remember.
That's all I taught you about. Now, at this point, when I was talking about that, I still had my own business, and I'd never done it with anybody else. I'd always talked about it, and I got trained and I learned some skills.
So what did you like about that idea?
I like the idea of being able to work with people and improve their business. And then I experienced working with some clients on improving their business. And I hated it. and I knew instantly I didn't want to be doing this. I thought, well, hang on a minute here. So I thought I made a massive mistake in coaching. I thought, you've spent a lot of time, read countless books, and spent not an insignificant amount of money to become a qualified NLP master practitioner to help businesses. And actually, I thought I didn't like it. But then what I realized is what I really wanted to do was help people. So I love helping people overcome problems. I love people that have got big challenges, because the challenges that other people have that are big to them don't feel very big to me. So I suppose I've joked about this, that if something's kind of just normal and needs managing, I'm not very good at that. No. But if there's a bit of catastrophe and mayhem and a bit of chaos...
Which you usually cause yourself in the first place.
I have caused a bit myself in the past. I cannot lie. I aspire to do that because that's where my skill set is. When things go a bit wrong, I don't panic in the here and now. I'm a bit of a worrier, you know that. Because if I know something's coming up and it's like 2 or 3 weeks away, I can get very, very nervous about it, because I want to do my best and I fear not doing my best. And
that's why I just bring things on you.
That's the way to do it, because if you throw me into a difficult situation like that, I'll deal with it. And you know, you won't see me rock much when there's any big pressure about when it happens in the front of us. I just deal with it. So learning, having your aspiration to be something, you first have to test and try that thing. So I would say, no matter what age you are, let's assume you've got some young child and they're at primary school and somebody says, you know, I want to be Lionel Messi. Well, take them to play football. Do they like it? Let them try it out. If you've got somebody who would like to play an instrument or become an artist, get them an instrument to play or let them do some drawing. If you've got people that aspire to be like my children, certainly my eldest daughter, she aspired to want to work in a school. So she got the chance through the school she was at to go and work with some younger children, and she loved it. You know, my son got the chance to go and do a bit of kind of football in a different part of the world, and he really enjoyed that, which kind of built on his belief that that is something he'd like to do. I would use my kind of experience in trying to become a business coach by saying, I didn't test it, I didn't try it. Therefore, there was something in that aspiration of helping others, but it wasn't the right thing for me. I think the well-being is. And the well-being is something I can do this all day long because I love it. And if you think about a lot of people, you can leave it so kind of deliciously just far enough as a dream, never to do anything about it. One of the things that people say, and I often laugh at this, is they'll say things like, I want to change the world. Well, what does that mean? So you aspire to do what? To change the world, but what? Because it becomes such a big generic thing that people say that it doesn't actually involve anything, because you're never going to, what are you going to do? Now, if somebody says, my intention is to change the world by doing this, and like we've been very specific, we want to change lives by improving people's well-being, raising their aspirations, and helping protect the planet that we live on. That's very specific. You can work towards that. You can be measured against that. And I think a lot of people, as we get older, we like to have that dream and keep it there in the future without adding anything towards it. I know people that talk about things they want. Oh, you know, I'd love to get a big car, and when I get my big house, and when I get the chance to do this. The reality is those things will never become reality, even if you aspire to them, unless you do some work towards it. So it's one thing to raise your aspiration, but once you've raised that aspiration, you've got to do the work
behind. Got to do the work.
And this is something I think we have to be really clear about with our work here, is all this information that we're going to share, all the education we're putting together and the programs we're putting together and all the motivation will count for nothing unless you're willing to put the work in. And I think that's when you actually find out whether someone really aspires to be something. You think about this in the last few weeks, certainly the last sort of 4 months, you've been very focused on doing some work at the gym. You're doing some gym programs and you're doing a little bit of resistance training. Yes. And we'll talk about this in future podcasts, not so much this one, but we'll talk about aspirations. You aspire to look a certain way and have a certain level of fitness. And since probably back end of last year and most of this year, I've aspired to be a better walker and taking up running. When I see you tiptoeing out the door, and it's cold, and you're wandering down to the gym.
Because I hardly ever go in the car.
You don't go in the car. When I see you wandering down there, or when I catch myself running in some ridiculous conditions because it's either freezing cold and icy or it's raining, then quite frankly, I know my aspiration to be a better walker and runner is proper. I've got some skin in the game. I know when you go off there, you've got some, you know, venom for doing that. Yeah, I'm going to go out there and do that. Because if we aspire to do something that's not that important, we'll quit. And you'll find an easy way. I think it's often said, if it's important to you, you'll find a way. If it's not important, you'll find an excuse. So there is no excuse to not want to raise your aspirations. Because if we look at the whole premise of Better 24/7, which if you look at our website, it's on there. We believe that everybody has the right to live a happy, healthy life. They have the right to. Now, just because you've got a right to live that way doesn't mean you have to take that right. You have to actually go in there and say, yeah, I believe I've got that right too, and I'm going to go for it. So just because you've got the privilege or right to do something doesn't mean everyone takes that advantage. You think about it. Everybody goes through the education system in our country. They all have the same opportunity to some degree. Some grasp it, some don't. And it doesn't really matter about your background. We know people that have come from really poor backgrounds that have done really well and gone and done great things. Equally, we know people that are from very privileged backgrounds that amounted to very little. What's the difference? The difference is aspirations. And aspirations tied in with the effort you'll put in. We'll talk a lot more about aspirations and we'll tie them in with how we look at them in relation to something in his life that maybe we're not too happy with. And I think that for me is the starting point with an aspiration. Is there something in your life you'd like to be better at? Is there something in life you'd like to improve? And once you've got that desire to improve it, then you decide what the aspiration is. And I would always say you keep it relatively realistic, but keep pushing it. You should always be just outside your comfort zone. You're like that now with your training. We're like that with us walking. You know, every time we go out walking now, we just push a little bit further, don't we?
We do. We've got longer and longer and longer walks.
Now, that hasn't felt like it was too much of a push. Every time, just outside this comfort zone. But eventually, looking back now, certainly since we started walking probably about 4 years ago together, you know, from where I am now to where I was is significant.
It's a long way.
So aspirations are important. They're important whatever age you are. You should always be aspiring, whether you're 7 or in your mother's case 70, nearly 77, you should be aspiring to say, how do I wake up tomorrow morning and how do I become a better version of me? And I think that is really it. It's about you. How do you improve yourself? Because if you improve yourself, that automatically has a positive effect to the people around you. You know, when you got fitter and healthier and you started to do the things you love doing, that affected other people around you. How many people have been impacted now by your yoga practice? Even those that don't come to your classes, your family, you've shown them how to live in a way which they aspire to be. You know, your daughter aspires to be fitter these days. Now, has that come because she's had that aspiration herself, or did you help embed that aspiration in her? You maybe have to ask her that when you see her next. And your grandson, you know, how are you connecting with him and how are you helping raise his aspirations by asking those questions? You know, why do you like doing that, Raf? And, you know, what about that do you like? Or what would you like to be? What would you like to try that? That's how we do it. That's how we raise aspirations, by just really encouraging people to say, well, why don't you try it? I remember once having my great-granddad, actually, great-granddad Evans, Reginald Evans. Welsh.
Reginald.
Right. There's one thing about my great-granddad, I can never remember what he sounded like. I don't think I ever heard him speak. Generally because he was normally drunk.
My granddad didn't speak neither.
And I can't remember it. But one day I get told this story by my mother and I vaguely remember it. I remember that one Christmas, one of the presents we got, it just shows you how things have changed. You know, kids now are getting Xboxes and iWatches and stuff. And I got a packet of balloons. You know, them long balloons you could turn into stuff. So you blow them up with the like long things and you twisted them. And my granddad Evans was there, sat in a chair, and we're blowing these balloons up. And he ended up taking a few, and he would turn them into animals. I'm not talking about, you know, some little kind of dog. He was making these swans out of it and everything. And he had this massive, he just could make these animals out of balloons. And we never knew that. We never knew what skill he had. We never knew he did that. And I think sometimes I found people that give them something to do and they have a knack for it, a talent for it, that they didn't even know they had. That's why part of raising aspirations should be about trying and tasting lots of different things. And when I talk about taste, I'm just talking about food and saying, taste it. Did you like that thing? I've got to say, I have probably enjoyed running more than I thought I would. I've got into it now. It
took you a long time, though.
But I found something. I found a way
but
of doing it.
But did you stop? Did you not? Did you keep putting off going out running because you feared you couldn't do it?
I'll tell you what I did. I took all my advice that I knew and was wrong. I tried it differently. I went out and tried to run fast from minute one. And when I started running again 12 months ago, I said, I'm just going to go out and go and cover that mileage in a time that's just above comfort zone. So I use this advice because bear in mind, excuse me, this is how I overcame my drink problem I'm talking about here, just pushing out your comfort zone. And again, it's not for this podcast, but what I will say is I went out and I just went. So the first time I ran a mile, it was really, really, really slow. And it's still not particularly fast. But each time is just a little bit quicker. A couple of seconds every week, a couple of seconds builds up. So I've managed to take about a minute and a half off my time to do a mile in 12 months. So where will I be in another 12 months? Just keep doing a little bit. So I think you have to just understand, if you set off and you've never done something and expect to be as good as other people, you're never going to be that. And it's an unrealistic expectation. And people are put off by unrealistic expectations. So if you aspire to be something, that's great. But also understand something else. It may take some time. Now, are you willing to put the time in? Because if you're not willing to put the time in, you'll not get there because you'll become disappointed and disheartened. But we'll talk more about that in future podcasts and how people can avoid that, because it's a very simple thing to avoid. But if you don't know how to avoid it, if you've not got those tools to understand how your mind works, understand how, as human beings, our kind of DNA in us leads us to want to do the easiest version of anything. As human beings, we're very lazy. I don't know if you knew that. Mm. All animals are meant to be lazy because lazy is efficient. That's why if you ever see ducks, if you ever see a really windy day on a duck pond, you don't see ducks swimming about. Ducks sit there, face the wind, put their heads down, and wait for the wind to pass. Because it's way too much effort to kind of waddle about. Now, humans, you see us in wind, battling through it. Animals are meant, as we are, any mammals are meant to do the most efficient thing, which generally is finding the easiest way to do it. So I don't think, as human beings, we are wired to push too hard for too long. But you can develop that skill. We'll talk about that in further podcasts. Is there anything else about raising aspirations you think is worth mentioning? Have we covered off kind of what we mean by raising aspirations?
Yeah, I think we have, because we've got to be careful. We don't just, talk and talk and talk and talk.
We've been at this 47 minutes.
Well, that's quite a long time. Where's that gone?
I think soon goes.
I'll just share this. When I was really young, like, I don't know, 8 or 9, I used to want to be Eva Perón. I knew I was old enough to know I couldn't be her. You know, like little kids say they want to be a letterbox or they want to be a sofa or whatever they say when they're really young. But I wanted to be that kind of character, that kind of charismatic sort of.
Have you ever had a child say to you, I want to be a letterbox or a sofa?
No, but they do, don't they?
They might say, I want to be a postman.
No. When they're really young, they say stuff like, I want to be an aeroplane or I want to be a train. They do. I've heard them.
You heard them.
I've heard them. So I wasn't young enough. I wasn't young enough to think I could be Eva Perón. I'm sure people know who Eva Perón is. Anyway, if you don't Google her. But I wanted to be that kind of person. And when I look back, I always think, what was it about her? I mean, she was a nasty piece of work. She died when she was quite young. And she had quite a difficult childhood. But I didn't see all that. I used to see, the film that was out at the time. And she was this charismatic woman that... who was she married to? Some Perón bloke. And Colonel Perón.
She became. She was Eva Duarte.
Yeah, and she became his wife, and then she overtook him in the popularity stakes. And she was a very strong.
But she was. It was Argentina, wasn't it?
Yeah, magnetic. So I wanted to be that kind of a person. Bear in mind, I was little, I was shy, and I had not a lot of confidence. But I used to look at her and I used to think, I'd love to be like that.
Wouldn't it be great if we could get people to say that, even if they, you're saying that to me now, but would you have said that when you were younger to other people? And I think that's the thing is, how do we encourage people to share
because people might have laughed.
Right. Well, this is, again, this is why it's so important. We want to encourage people of all ages to share your aspirations. Because if you've got people that are supportive, which is what we want to create, supportive environments and communities, they won't laugh at your aspirations.
Yeah, but in my day, in our childhood, if you said anything like that, your parents would say, stop being stupid. And you're again, too dim to do that.
We need to understand that still happens. So what we're creating within Better 24/7 is an environment where that will not happen. So big things to do.
Yeah, you never laugh at me, do you?
Because I think I laugh at different things with you. You've got a very, what's the word you're looking for? You're very endearing. Is that the word? You laugh because, listen, we have this thing where you do things and you've got this lightness about you. And that's part of what, you know, is attractive about you, this lightness you have to be and try and do things. You're very up for trying things and, you know, getting me to try things, you know, jumping off the side of mountains tied to bits of string or something, or going White River rafting or something. Raising aspirations is important. This is the second of our big three. If you've listened to the first one, that was all about the importance of well-being. If you haven't listened to the first one, you really should, because this is like a three-parter, really. You need to listen to the first one, improving well-being, this one, raising aspirations. Then the final one, which will be coming very shortly, is where we talk about what we feel about and the importance of saving the planet.
Or protecting.
Protecting the planet. So, listen, thanks for listening. If you haven't subscribed, please do so. Any questions, let us know at better247.com. And until the next podcast, take care.
Bye-bye.